Pickaxe.
We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 € bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 € gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 € oder Mucki Sandwich Eis je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 €. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Triforce podcast. I'm here with my best friend, Sips.
Thanks for putting me first.
And my second best friend, Imperium Flax.
Brutal, but I'll take it.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. How are you guys feeling? Good week? Happy?
Yeah, I've had a cold, but I'm recovering. All the house stuff is coming along real nice. Got loads of stuff done this week, so we're getting closer to putting it behind us forever.
And you're never gonna commit to a house changing project again.
Never again.
Yeah.
I don't mind like a little thing, you know, like, a new cupboard or, you know, little bits and pieces, but
do you want
never
to build them yourself? Do you want to use your hands and your talents?
I mean, I can put together flat pack furniture and stuff. It's no problem.
Nice.
But custom stuff's difficult. You need a skilled carpenter.
I went to IKEA.
You need Jesus.
Actually, this week, and I don't know if you've been to IKEA recently, but
no, there's not one over here. So, I think the last time I went to one was maybe 20 years ago.
I feel like everything in there looks like it should be in a student house, right? And I guess maybe that's because my tastes have changed or something. But it just feels so.
You want some big ornate mahogany furniture now? You're at that.
I want chandeliers. Yeah, and coving.
Yes.
Do you think Jesus was a good carpenter? It never comes up. They mention that he's a carpenter, but I don't think he does any carpentry.
It's all word of mouth with those guys.
No point.
Yeah. You know.
Well, he had those 3,000 people. Do you think during that
speech, they don't tend to advertise very well.
I brought you bread and fish, and also if anyone has any carpentry that needs doing around the house, I am, of course, available. Just give me a knock.
My day rate is excellent.
I charge 3 shekels and a piece of bread, and I will be there.
Oh, man.
I don't think he ever talks about his carpentry. It's never like loads of other banal, sort of banal shit comes up in the Bible, you know, when they're talking about where they went and what they did and where they had breakfast and where they stayed. Never comes up. Jesus knocked up a really nice chair. Like, no, that doesn't come up.
It's kind of weird because he probably could, you know, if they reached like a river and, you know, they could deploy Jesus like an army engineer to erect a bridge, a very sturdy bridge. But he wouldn't need to because he could just walk on water. You know what I mean? His magic kind of cancels out his skills, you know, his carpentry skills.
Good point. And maybe really like needed. When they said that, I've just read this online. There's a prophecy that the Jews would destroy the temple and he would raise it up again. Do you reckon that it's possible that he could have done it with carpentry? Do you know what I mean?
Like, he would have raised it.
If they knocked down that temple, lads, I could knock you up a new one in 3 days.
Yeah. Well, the first one he made was made of straw. And then they blew that one down. So he tried again with sticks. You'd putting his roof thatching and carpentry skills to the test.
And then tungsten carbide steel was the third one.
That was the third one, yeah. That shit's not... He slapped it and he said, that shit's not going anywhere.
Interesting. So it says, from Google, it says that more likely the Greek translation, because it's an old book, changed it a bit. And I think carpenter could possibly mean artisan or craftsman or sculptor or something. So it could well be something a bit vaguer than...
It's a Penguin classic now.
Guy knocking up
shelves.
They
don't even use new art for the book or anything. It's just...
It is. I guess that just... I mean, so much could be lost in translation from that time. You know, I think it's very hard to take the it as gospel. Oh,
he's done it.
He's gone. He's gone and done it.
Please. But yeah, I guess. Do you ever miss like that? Like you see people doing these stuff, like building log cabins, and we talk about this all the time. But yeah. do you ever feel less of a man for like not being able to do any of this stuff?
No,
I mean, really I can barely not. Hammer a nail in. I'm terrified to like hit an electrical cable.
They don't even really do that anymore. They use nail guns now. They're a lot more common.
Right. Well, they don't even hammer a nail. Even no. You saying that I'm even out of date on using a hammer.
You would be amazed. Machinery. If you get a tradesperson over, get a carpenter or a joiner or somebody over to your house to do something and have a look in their van. They have a doodad for everything. What the tools that you remember, you know, from like Bob the Builder or whatever. It's not like that anymore. They got an electrical right. doodad. You know what the biggest thing they have in their van is like one of those big lithium. Is it lithium batteries that all the power tools right. use now? Yeah. You know, you slot them to the bottom. They'll have a big multi charger for those. Okay. That's the biggest thing.
They all use various power tools.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah. And when they're out, they can't have anything that it's much easier to have it be cordless, right? Because everything is now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You need to be able to get places. But yeah, like I had a carpenter around doing a bunch of stuff around the house stuff that we're having done. And he had a table saw that was battery operated with one of those big batteries. And he just had this huge array that he could plug all of his batteries into and charge them up while he was doing other stuff
like
and everything.
Gadget.
It was mad. Yeah.
So what is the weirdest one? Or did you even like pay attention? Does it feel like cheating? Do you know what I mean?
No.
Feel like a life
it's better. They just do it. They do it faster. And
does it make you think you could do it though?
Not really, but I'm not really, I'm interested in talking to people who do it. Like I'm interested in that sense. Like I ask questions and say like, oh, is that difficult or whatever? But I'm never tempted to do it myself. Like I know my limits, you know, like I can just about put together, like I put together a flat pack mud kitchen for the baby yesterday.
Mud kitchen.
It's a mud kitchen. Yeah. It's like a little,
what are you saying?
It's like a little wooden kitchen that stays outside and you get little pots and pans. You can put water and mud and dirt in and you pretend that you make meals or whatever, you know, you're meant what? To, it's messy, like messy outside messy play, you know?
So it's just like an outdoor kitchen. That's a toy.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. But it came like all these pieces of wood and some screws. And I mean, I put that together. It was fine, but that's about my limit. Like I'm not going to do anything more than that.
You're supposed to put it together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, that's why.
Yeah. I didn't put it together. We've had it for like probably a year and it's been sitting in the backyard and it was so bad and it got so weather beaten that most of the cardboard had disintegrated, but it's meant to be outside, so all the wood inside was fine. Yesterday when I was clearing up because we finally got rid of some scaffolding and other crap that was polluting our land, and I saw this thing, I was like, oh, I better put this together. And it only took me like 5 minutes, but you know,
it's perfect time for an outdoor playset. Just the beginning of winter.
Weather yesterday was fantastic too. God, it was so good. So yeah,
well,
it was great.
Yeah, it's the last gasps of decent weather.
Yeah,
I'm going away and hoping that it'll stay vaguely warm, but yeah. I'm not expecting it to be. You know, every time I go on holiday, I get screwed.
Yeah,
it's just fate. I'm fated. Yeah. I stay indoors and play video games on all the days with nice weather.
Yes,
and then when I go on holiday, it's like shit. And I'm like, oh, I want to be indoors playing video games. I bought an airbrush, a new airbrush with like a compressor
to do what?
And to do various artsy things, mostly Warhammer models and things. But I bought it all and then it didn't have a hose. And I was like, oh God, now I'm gonna have to, you know, I mean, there's always one thing that you have to get, you know. And then once you've got the hose and you set it all up, I'm sure there'll be something else that's missing. I'll be like, oh, I don't have any airbrush thinner.
Do you need that?
Yeah, you need like stuff, don't you? I think you just need a little bit of education, like half an hour of a YouTube tutorial and you feel right. like you can get the gist of most things.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's what Warhammer painting is. Like when I was a kid, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing and I did everything terribly. And now there's lots of cheats.
Right.
You know, there's so many ways to like cheat and make stuff look good.
Right.
With like very low effort.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether carpentry and stuff like that is the same, you know?
Well, the problem with carpentry, I mean, cheating to make something look good is one thing. But I think with carpentry, you want it to look good, yeah, but you want it to be sturdy as well. You want to be able to slap it at the end and say,
DIY, you know, I'm looking at like, I'm looking at moving house or getting a house somewhere.
And really?
It is fascinating.
Well, a house?
The people, yeah, I'm still renting and it's like,
you're going to buy a house.
It's a choice. I don't know, maybe Sips. I haven't decided, but I'm more,
if you do,
more likely to,
let me give you this piece of advice. Do not renovate your house. Buy a brand new one. Try to buy a brand new one. It'll need some work, but it won't need any like major work. You know what I mean?
So you're saying don't move into a castle or like a period property?
No.
Have you not watched Escape to the Country or whatever it's called? That thing.
No,
where
I don't watch that daytime.
It's
TV
not.
Stuff.
I don't think it is daytime. It's a. I think I'm thinking of the thing with the right one. Hang on.
It's a raunchy nighttime show.
Escape to the Country has 25 seasons.
What's that one where the couple have a chateau in France? Is that Escape to the Country? Something chateau. Yeah, that's as far as I got. Thanks, though. Yeah, something chateau.
You really
that
put her. You put her on the spot big time there.
Something chateau.
Yeah, that one. In that, right, they have this amazing old chateau. But the whole point of the show is all the stuff they've got to fix. And it's if you're not handy, don't do it. Because the guy that is in the show, like the husband, they're a couple. She does all the interior stuff, all the decorating, all the design. And he's the guy that does all these sort of grunt work. So, for example, they have the chicken coop or whatever is fucked. So they've got to build a new one. Right. There's little outdoor building. Fix that up. The ceiling is coming down. This window's fucked. Every single week it's something. And if you had to get people in every time, you'd end up spending twice what you spent on the house.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. And all the delays and waiting and disruption, having strangers in your house all the time, it'd be ridiculous. So I think, certainly when we bought this place about 20 years ago, there was a lot of stuff that we've had to do to it over the years, and some of it is more disruptive than others. But there's certainly some stuff that, if I was handy, I could have just done. And I am a little bit jealous, I suppose, of people who are builders or carpenters or whatever, those kind of people that can do a bit of everything. Because I could have fixed so many problems just myself. Just go buy some lumber and I've got all the tools and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That would have been great. But I can do bits, but I can't do a lot.
We had a thing yesterday where, because this bunch of scaffolding came off, they'd put some boards up on like a lower roof on the side of our house. And the roof has, it's not like roof tiles or shingles. It's like a resin sort of. You know, it's like, it looks like the hull of a boat or something, you know, like it's like this like material that they have to like blowtorch and like kind of like weld it sort of thing. And what happened was, when they put this board down with the scaffolding, somebody drilled the board into the roof, but it pierced the membrane like 7 or 8 times.
What, so, by the way, is Terry in the background doing something?
Yeah, I'm going to go put him outside, actually.
What's he doing?
Trying to escape. I'll be right back.
You can hear him banging around. That's so funny.
Oh, it's one or the other from you two, isn't it? It's either a plane or someone honking.
I don't know where you live. Actually, I do know where you live, but I don't know. It can't be that quiet there. Do you have like quadruple glazing or something? Like, I never hear a sound. Aren't you in the studio at the office?
I usually record at the office, yeah.
Yeah, so easy peasy. I'm sorry, I live in a house.
When I'm at home, it's never that loud, though, either. Like, you know,
yeah, I don't know. It's just quite quiet where you are, I suppose.
It's okay. As if I had a Terry in my room, I'd also be noisy.
Mm-hmm. Chewed out.
Anyway, listen, so I had like 7 or 8 holes in this roof, and they had to come by and basically weld little circles like over the holes, which is fine. It didn't take long, but it's like, man, it's so stupid. It could have caused a big leak, you know?
The number 7.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've been thinking about mathematics this week.
Right.
Oh.
I think it's a load of bollocks.
So you think the fact that 7 individual holes were drilled into my roof means nothing?
No, I think that's fine because you can count it. But a lot of other maths just seems like absolute arse to me, in all honesty.
What
I never
do you
got
mean?
Along with it. I'll give you an example, and this is quite a famous one. 0.999999 recurring almost like infinitely is 1. That is equal to 1.
If you round it up, yeah.
Right. If you round it up, agreed. And one of the simple proofs they give is, if you take 1, what's 1/3 of 1 decimally?
0.3 recurring.
So if you add 3 of those together,
yeah,
you get 1.
Yeah, well, no, you get 0.9999999999,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's just a weakness of fractions. That's just a weak, you know, because in the real world, you wouldn't divide a cake into 0.333 recurring. That's just another way of writing one third.
Yeah.
And there's obviously a gap between the way you write fractions, which are quite straightforward and obvious, a quarter, a fifth, whatever, to putting them into decimals. It's a weakness in the system. It's a weakness in the, I think the whole thing falls apart at even the slightest glance. And right. I think we should abandon it and come up with a new system.
Okay, my turn. Something that's annoyed me recently, I share your frustration with fractions. But this is completely okay. different. I was, when we were in London, Flax, I flew home. Obviously, I had to fly home. And this is something that happens time and time and time again on a plane. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this, but I'll never understand people at the back of the plane who think that they are getting off first somehow. You know, they get up and they start moving and you're just like, excuse me. Like, there's so many other people in front of you who are getting ready to leave as well, who are nicely letting the people in front of them go. What? How have you decided that you're so unique and special that you just somehow have to charge to the front of the plane to get off first?
Do they have a connecting flight?
I don't think so. Well, maybe they do, but I mean, it's tough shit anyway, though.
What I've done in those situations is say to the stewardess, if I don't get off this plane pronto when we land, I'm going to miss my connecting flight because we're already late.
Yeah.
And we've had that before where sometimes I've been on a plane and they've said, if you have a connecting flight, please let those people off first. And of course, nobody fucking does.
No.
They don't even notice.
No.
They don't even give a shit. So I was on a flight the other week. This was the one coming back from Copenhagen.
Copenhagen.
It's with two P's, of course.
Yes.
And this family had to get the connecting flight. Like we were a little bit late. They were in a big hurry. Plane lands, and the mother and the dad and the kids, they've already got all their shit. Like,
yeah.
They've just snuck it down.
Good for
them.
They
get up, and they start piling forward. Well, you say good for them, mate, but they were pushing through all these people. They were at the back of the plane. They go clobbering through people. They're literally barging people out of the way.
Yeah,
like,
but
the mum is smashing people with her bag to get them out of the way.
Okay, that's not good. You can just tell one of the cabin crew, listen, we have to get off, and
right,
I'm sure
care.
They could help you.
No, they can't.
They can't.
Because they say, everybody wait. And then at the course of bing, the light goes off, everybody fucking gets up.
Yeah.
Like, instantly people are in the aisle.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no room for decency.
And
they're all
acing themselves trying to get their heavy-ass luggage out of the overhead compartment. You know, like people who bring a full suitcase.
It's crazy.
Oh, it's mad. I just don't know how people can be so stupid. Like, it's just, it is insane. Like, to save like 5 minutes.
It could be any number of reasons. Let's go back to maths for a second.
Did you
know this week, well, last week, a couple of weeks ago, God knows when this podcast comes out, there's a new biggest prime number, right? And this happens every so often, right? That this week it was like some NVIDIA guy, ex-NVIDIA guy,
right.
amateur mathematician.
Was it sitting at the back of the plane and did it try to charge forward ahead of everyone else?
It is a prime number, so.
So
was it
exactly.
inside a bottle of prime? Was it hidden inside a bottle of prime?
Hilarious, if only. There's a guy called Mersenne, and the Mersenne primes are the ones that are like weird. So they're kind of like a prime number of the form M. The prime number equals 2 to the power of a number minus 1. Right. So the current this one that was found was 2 to the power of 136,279,841 minus 1, right? So that is 41 million digits long.
Why are you telling me this? Are you explaining this?
Well, it's just interesting that a number that's so, so big can be a prime number, okay? But maths is like this. This is what Pierre and Flax says, right?
My counterpoint to that is it's not that interesting.
Okay, now here's something's interesting. Mathematicians have graphed how often prime numbers are found by year.
Why?
And it used to be doubling every 4.3 years, but now it's growing by 10 to the 6 every 0.85 years.
Yeah, okay. But the computers are better, right?
Right? What a load of shit. What a meta thing that mathematicians, of course, mathematicians have made a mathematical graph tracking how often prime numbers are found over time. It's nonsense.
They fucking love prime numbers. They fucking love prime numbers.
They fucking love prime numbers.
Maths people fucking love. They're so boring.
They absolutely love them, yes.
It's so boring. You know what? You watch one number file video on YouTube, suddenly it's maths up the ass from YouTube. It's like smashing maths into your face 24/7. They're all the same. Some mathematician and some clueless camera person or interviewer trying desperately to understand some stupid mathematical proof that they're just wanking over. And then the guy's got this smirk on his face like, you won't believe what happens next. It's like, fuck off. You've invented this dog shit arcane system.
You guys got to get on my level.
Just to jerk off about this shit. It's so boring.
All my YouTube recommended stuff recently has been Japanese Disney ride POVs. They're amazing. my youngest daughter is obsessed with Frozen and Tangled, and they have these rides at, I think it's Fantasy Springs in Tokyo Disney. And sure. Man, she loves them. They look great, but I can't understand a thing that's going on in them. Like, I get like the music and stuff like that, but it is all very Japanese, you know. But it's cool. And more recently, there's a Peter Pan ride that she likes to watch as well. She watches these every night before she goes to bed. She's just like, I don't mind those ones so much, but it's the ones like Let It Go, but it's Donald Duck singing it, or Let It Go, but it's Goofy singing it. Those are the ones that I have to say, sorry, I cannot sit through this one again.
That's all right. I'm the same. My YouTube is the same, and I totally agree. They
ride
have
POVs.
Going back to maths.
Oh, maths. Sorry.
Here's one of my biggest problems with maths is probabilities. All right.
Okay.
I'll give an example. Because I don't know anything about maths, as you may have noticed, I'm terrible at maths. I always was, always struggled with it. I cannot help my kids with it when it comes to schoolwork. I watch the YouTube videos. That there are links on the homework.
Oh, the math
video
that they do nowadays is mad, though.
It's really hard.
They
but
have
I was
all
always
these. It's
it.
So different to the way that we were taught it. Like, you know, when you do like addition or subtraction, and you have to like take from the number to the left.
No, I don't. I can never
kind of
remember
stuff.
The system. I can never. Remember
well,
the system.
I remember the system that I was taught, but they're teaching it differently now. You put the numbers in a different place, and there's like double lines at the bottom and everything, and I'm just like,
it's like there's like this bus stop system they've got for division or something. It's like, oh, I don't fucking know. Nah. But I mean, it's like that when it comes to, I'll give you one of the things I don't get. There are two, actually. One of them is the lottery. So if you play the lottery, the odds of winning are roughly 14.5
million.
Oh my
God.
To one.
I won £8 today.
Congratulations.
On the lottery. Yeah.
Congratulations. Okay. That's with one ticket gives you 14.5 million. Let's say 14 million for ease of conversation. If you buy two tickets, you now have a 1 in 7 million chance of winning. That's bollocks. That is bollocks, isn't it? That's just, you're simplifying 2 in 14 to 1 in 7 to make it easier. But, and hear me out, you've got two combinations of winning of numbers, and there are still almost 14 million other combinations that are not correct. There's only one winning number. How can having two tickets make it go from 14 million to 7 million, it doesn't make sense. I haven't doubled I haven't improved my chances at all. Barely at all. I've only got two tickets. There's still nearly 14 million combinations out there that I will not win. Let's reflect on that. Don't tell me it's 1 in 7. It's bullshit. Here's another one. The Monty Hall problem. You know, this was very famous. You've given three doors.
Right. Yeah.
Behind one of them is a prize. Behind the other two is a goat. You choose a door. At this point, they remove one of the other doors, a losing door, and they say, all right, at this point, there's your choice, and
this door
and
stinks
this other
and
door.
It's bleeding. I'll take this one, please.
Here's these two doors. Now, at this point, they offer you the chance to switch. You should switch. And they've proven this mathematically. Because when you made your initial choice, you had a 1 in 3 chance. But if you switch now, it's a 50-50. That can fuck off. It's ridiculous. It's so stupid. And they can prove the shit mathematically, and you have to explain it at length, and it's like, huh, it's a real head scratcher. That's because it's impractical and bollocks and it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I think we're missing all this stuff. But get back to practicals. If I cut a cake in half, I have two halves of a cake. Simple. Simple. I can see, I can visualize it. All that, once you get to write it down, it's all abstract. They do all this wank and it just pisses me off.
Well, anyway,
to fellow maths idiots like me.
I bought a tough Channel Islands Christmas lottery ticket yesterday. It cost £2. Grand prize is like £300,000, I think.
That's terrible odds.
But you can scratch. You got to hang on to the ticket for the grand prize draw, which is like a code on each ticket. But each ticket has like a scratch portion where you can win like little prizes. And I scratched and I scratched and I scratched. Scratched the bonus. Sure enough, boom, £8 I won.
How did you make I won £8 on a scratch card into a lengthy anecdote?
I don't know. It was so exciting. I never win.
You're even breaking down the scratching.
I never win at those things. So it was quite exciting.
This is like when I called my mom and she told me.
I took £6 in cash and I bought one more ticket.
That's how they get you.
That's how they get you.
Are you a guy that does the scratches? I've never done them.
I don't know. Recently I did. I watched Industry and there was a scene in Industry where this guy, Rob, does a scratch ticket. And me and my wife just found it quite funny. And
I thought you were saying you wanted to become a businessman.
So every time I go to the store in the morning, I always have to go get milk because we always run out of milk. So I go get milk in the morning and the lady at the shop's always like, "Do you want one of these?" And I'm always like,
"Jesus, what a pusher."
Yeah, go on. Yeah. I always take one. And then, but it finally paid off.
One scratch card?
Yeah, one, yeah.
So you do them all the time?
As a scratcher?
No, I bring them home and then somebody else does them normally. But this time I decided, you know what, I'm going to do it.
Who else?
Who?
Well, my wife.
Your children?
My kids sometimes, yeah. My mother-in-law will do them sometimes.
I'll be honest with you,
we just have a big pile of them on the counter. And then whoever wants to.
I never thought you would be a scratcher. That's crazy.
What do you scratch them with?
Well, I love that you guys are calling me a scratcher. I mean, this is literally the first time I've scratched today.
No, you just told us.
I don't scratch them.
You're a scratch enabler.
That's fine. I'll take that. But anyway, I found this little piece of plastic that I used. I think it was a piece of one of my kids' toys. It was just on the ground. I was like, oh, I'll just use this. And I scratched, and there you go, £8.
With a piece of a children's toy?
My father-in-law won like $5,000 one time.
What was he scratching with?
I don't know.
Fucking.
This is before my time. This happened before I even knew him.
I don't know.
You can buy scratch card scratchers. A tool that goes on a keychain for scratching scratch cards.
Can you buy a fucking machine that scratches it for you? Like the fucking guy in the back of a van.
Scratching scratch.
Well, you wanted industrial scale scratching. Hi, yes. Chris, Channel Island Christmas Lottery. I'll take 200,000 tickets, please.
Automated lottery ticket scratcher from Sigma Design.
No, I'm not into the scratch cards, but this is a yearly thing just around Christmas, and I think a lot of it goes to charity and stuff too. So there's always a big sort of thing for it. People do like big syndicates. Like when I used to work in offices, there's always big Christmas lottery syndicates and whatnot. I never worked anywhere where they won, but usually a syndicate wins every year.
Sorry, there is a video on YouTube with 624 views. It's called Automated Lottery Ticket Scratcher, Sigma Design, and Pay Range. I thought this was a joke vid. This is a serious company, and they've actually made and coded an automated scratch card scratcher that also announces whether you've won.
Is it able to detect the void if removed scratch portion and,
I don't know.
And avoid it?
I don't know, but that's Sigma Design.
That would be an important thing for a machine such as that, I think.
Then there's one comment on this video. I'm an all processes welder, fabricator, mechanic. Seen you were hiring in Southern Oregon for a welder fabricator. Curious of what you guys do. Been employed 7 years at my current job. No benefits. Thinking about checking your position out.
Any That's the only comment.
No comment.
What?
Sigma Design is a product design and engineering firm which provides product development services from concept through production.
So they make other weird shit, do they?
Yeah. They make things. They made whatever video with 14.
I've got an idea that's going to blow you guys away. Here. Hourglass pickle jar. Let's make it happen.
This is the drone delivery system model. It's called Wingbeat. I mean, sure, this company does fine. It's just so boring. So oh my God, I see the magic words. Monte Carlo simulation, a mathematical technique that uses random sampling to solve complex problems. So they're doing this system to have drone deliveries for automated drone delivery. So they're working on a system for that. Good God.
Yeah, this is, so there is a machine for everything like that. You know, you turn up, you know, everything. You don't need regular tools anymore. You know, a spanner, throw that away. There's a fucking, some sort of auto spanner that you can get. They'll do any spanning you need.
They've got a coffee robot.
Before you know it, the robots are going to take all of our jobs. Did you know that there's a robot that you can piss on and it can measure how hard you piss? That's my job.
Say, piss on me, daddy. I thought that's my job.
Yeah.
Yes, very hard piss. Yeah, good flow.
Up until now, you've had to piss on a nurse's face or something, I guess.
What the fuck are you talking about?
That's not a nice thing to say.
Well, nurse, it's your first day on the job. You got piss face duty, sorry.
We need to find out how strong this man's piss stream is. I can't think of another possible way we could discover this. I get it. Like, and it's all fucking cheap as shit as well from Alibaba or whatever.
What?
You can get all this, you can get anything. Yesterday I was looking at doing some like decals or whatever, like little water sheet transfers that you have on your stuff. And you can get like a little tray that's specially designed for it with a little plastic sieve and a little comb. And it's like, and it's all like, why do we need this stuff? Like, it's so unnecessary. Just use a jam jar lid, you know, like we used to when we were boys. What's wrong with that? You know, I want all these like cheeky life hacks instead of like a fucking 30 quid tool from Alibaba that you're going to use once and it'll fall apart.
I've still never bought anything from old Ali. From Mr.
Well,
you probably have
because it gets resold on Amazon.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, any of these things that you bought from, it'll be a Fingus.
God, that's reminded me. Actually, I need to
razor.
I need to order something off Amazon.
It'll have some weird brand. It'll be called like
scratch
a
tickets.
Pontasli or whatever. It'll just be called some stupid English name.
I've got it.
And that'll be the brand of it.
My daughter buys crap from random people on the internet.
Really?
She bought a wig. Like, for Halloween, she bought a wig. Okay. And when it turned up, it was shit. And she was in tears. And I was like, what's happened? She goes, I spent £8 on this wig. Oh, no, it wasn't even £8. It was like £4, including delivery. She was like, I bought a scam wig. I said, what do you mean you bought a scam wig? I said, the wig has turned up. It's just shit. You just bought a shit wig. It's not a scam. It's just shit. You pay £4 plus postage for a wig. It's going to be shit. You got exactly what you paid for.
Exactly.
So she bought another wig and it was not a scam. It was slightly better.
We talked about this as well because on the front page of AliExpress, it's wigs is up there on
there
the top.
There you go.
And hair extensions and wigs is also there.
She loves
a
wig.
Like, as if that's like the main thing that people are buying on AliExpress.
Funny.
So I assume that's where she got it from.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, here I'm looking there. Women girl hand make gothic Lolita. Good God.
Oh my God.
That is something they're selling here. Hot selling 2024 fashion women's mini watch, 79p.
I know.
What the fuck?
And that's why they buy like 100 of them and sell them on Amazon for £10 or whatever.
This can't be right. AliExpress Dowinks gaming chair, breathable PU leather gaming chair with pocket spring cushions, £5.16.
I know.
It must be like an inch tall. It can't be a real chair.
This is what I'm saying. The world is mad. This stuff is mad. You can buy, look, a new 3.25-inch cordless wrench set, two of them with a million things in a box, £8.
Jesus. Like,
but this is the shit that ends up in the Isle of Wonder at Lidl. Sure.
I mean, even this one I'm looking at, they're exactly the same on AliExpress. One of them is called the EMD tool, and one of them is called the Fay Tory. Do you mean they've got two different brands
already. Like, wait, for the same thing before you even bought it on the reseller.
All right, so these have to just be straight up cons, right?
Because no, this is 2024
E99 Pro RC Drone 4K Professional. They spelled professional wrong. 1080p wide angle HD camera foldable helicopter drone with Wi-Fi. £6.66.
I know.
Just tempted to get it just to see what the fuck you get for six.
I know. It is. And sometimes it's actually okay.
What the fuck is happening?
Like, it's astonishing, really.
Portable folding chair, 79p.
I know.
This is like we've gone back in time.
But this is
children's Glock empty chamber handgun, 79p. It's airsoft. children's Glock.
Oh, man.
It is insanity. On here, looking around, honestly. And the funny thing is this is kind of how it's always worked. Shops buy shit from China for fuck all and then ship them over in a massive crate for literally pennies. And then they just resell it for $29.99 with a 300% markup or more, right? It's that's how business has always worked for all of this shit.
There's a set of underwear called, it's not Calvin Klein, it's Kaney Keen. But it's the same font.
It's yes.
That is hilarious.
It's just knockoff garbage, tons of it.
Kaney Keeger. No, Keener. Kaney Keener instead of Calvin Klein.
Yeah,
this
looking
is
at all the misspelled Puma, the misspelled Adidas, the misspelled.
Right. You can get
North
Grinch
face.
Pajamas where the Grinch's face is on your ass.
I just got a brand new Tommy Hilfiger. sweater. It only cost me £5.
Yeah, exactly.
This is, I have never seen this before. This is absolutely insane. I figured these were just all cons. God, no wonder we get so many parcels. It's my daughter. I know she bought a thing of lollipops that turn your mouth blue. They were like £2.
Yeah.
And she thought she was just getting a few, and a bucket of like 150 lollipops turned up.
Oh, that's crazy.
Probably teeming with radiation or something.
The there was a thing in the news. I know this is not loose news, but somebody ordered some clothes from Shein. You know that the big clothing.
Oh, Shein or whatever. Yeah.
And they opened it up, and there was like a huge scorpion in the packaging.
Now with free scorpion.
I didn't order the scorpion. I'd be shitting myself. Oh my god.
Hi, the scorpion you sent came in black. I ordered a red scorpion. Thank you.
Yeah, there's just a massive scorpion.
1 million lumens flashlight, 79p.
I know.
A handheld game system, £12. I wonder what games it takes. Uno, show of no mercy, 79p. Shoe repair glue, 79p. Three mode opening trash can, 79p. Where's the profit margin?
That's a bargain.
How are they making it for enough that they can then ship and sell this to me? We talked about this the other week. I now have it presented to me. Stolen goods. It's all stolen.
Yeah.
We've stolen 3,000 body warmers. How can we move these? I mean, is this just money laundering? Is it what the fuck is happening?
It boggles the mind. Because I paid fuck all for some knockoff Lego. It looked basically the same.
The real money, real value is in the Somali pirates you hired to hijack the cargo ship. And then you get all those.
I don't want to advertise AliExpress at all, but it is fascinating that
it's fascinating
that this
terrifying
amount of absolute shit is being shipped across the globe.
We are doomed
en masse.
We are so doomed.
But I think be aware that this is what's happening. This is, if you look at some piece of crap on Amazon, you can get it for a tenth the price on here.
Well, dare I say it, Lulu, but perhaps the good people at AliExpress who are putting this shit on the internet should up their fucking prices and sell direct.
Have you guys ever shopped at Belliani.co.uk? Have you ever seen those ads?
Belliani.
Have you ever seen the ads on
no,
YouTube?
No, I don't watch television. I have no idea what that even is.
Is it
like another AliExpress?
I think it's a furniture store, actually.
Stainless steel fishbone tweezer, 45p.
That's just gonna be it.
So this is an object for teasing out fishbones, a useful thing to have in a kitchen.
Yeah, I'll need those.
They've had to get the metal, they've had to refine it, they've had to get this thing into the mold, make it, check it, stencil it with their brand name on the side, ship it all over the place. Then these guys are selling it. Then it's going to get on a container ship and come over here.
Yeah.
45p. How much are they making on this?
I just put in an order for 5 million solar powered flashlights.
We're going to make a fortune, honey. I bought a gas burner welding torch portable blowtorch. 79 pence.
Quit your job, honey.
We've just hit the big time. Knitted men's plush hats. We're going to make a fortune. I bought an automatic rolling double layer egg holder, sweetheart. Cancel the holiday. We're upgrading. We're going to the Seychelles. We're millionaires now.
It's wild. It's fucking wild.
It's wild.
79p for foldable laptops there.
We're living in
Does this
a
stuff
dystopia.
Turn up? Does it turn up?
So yeah,
it does turn up, and
Ben bought something as a test, and it was shit, but it did arrive about 2 months after it said it would.
Luckily,
by which time,
I don't want anything. I'll be honest with you, I don't actually want anything.
Yeah,
like I want to get rid of stuff. I've got so much stuff that
we just had that the other day. I hired a lad. Yeah, we had a loft space that we just chucked stuff in for years. And forgot about it. And we bought some new suitcases this summer to go on holiday because our old ones were kind of fucked up and they were so heavy. Even when empty, they were so heavy. So
did you get the hard shell Samsonites?
They're not Samsonites, I don't think. Maybe they are. I don't know. Either way. Is it Bench?
They have a lifetime guarantee, Bench. You know?
Yeah, whatever. I mean, our old Samsonites were so heavy that they added like 5 kilos to the fucking scales when you put them in. Anyway, we had, it turns out, 4 suitcases in the loft space.
Right.
That we'd forgotten about. So they had to go. And then there was another small suitcase we had that was broken. Huge cardboard boxes that my daughter's new bed came in. Her old bed, her old mattresses, an old PC, my old barbecue. All this stuff that was just had to fucking go.
You had an old barbecue in your loft?
No, dude. This was in the garden.
Oh, I was going to say. Jesus
yeah, sorry.
Christ.
That's fair. And no. So that was in the loft space. The garden had a few things in that wanted to go.
I just had a big hump and dump yesterday for garden stuff when we got rid of
it. So you went to the dump?
I didn't go to the dump. No, I called a guy to come in because we had a whole bunch of like rubble.
Sorry, I want to hear the term again.
Plasterboard, hump and dump.
What was the term? Hump and dump.
Hump and dump.
That's a one night stand, isn't it? Am I going crazy here?
It's also a very popular name for general household removal companies.
Never heard that before.
Well, anyway,
it's man and van is what I know.
Yeah, we have that as well. Man with a van, hump and dump. Lift and shift is another one.
Oh, okay. Well, I had this Polish
blow my load and hit the road.
Blow my load. Wait. But no, they come over, and as long as you've got everything sort of in an area, which I did all over the driveway, I said, here, take all this stuff. And then they just sort through it all, separate it out. Because when they go to the dump, you have to separate it all out. Metals, rubble.
It's a
pain in the ass. There's charges for it too. But
it would have just been so many trips to the tip.
Yeah.
And like hours breaking all this stuff apart, trying to fit it in my car.
Yeah.
This guy turned up. I emailed him. He said, when do you need me there? I was like, can you come tomorrow at 1? He was like, I'm there. Turned up. He quoted me on the spot. I paid him cash. He took everything away. Job done.
Yeah. It's perfect. Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
We had a sympathy at the office, except for it was like we called up for a quote and they just turned up. We're like, where's your stuff?
I know they keep a lot of it. If stuff's like good or whatever, they keep it. Yeah. You see them sorting through it. They take
We had a big clear out of our basement because we had loads of stuff. And the guy was like, oh, I'm taking this home for my kids. I was like, oh, I'll have this.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it was like kind of costumes that would be down there and well, they were okay. But do you know what I mean? It's like, We buy so much crap, you know, costumes and things, and we don't want to throw them away, so they get put in.
Did you
boxes
sell
in the
all
basement.
Of my iconic costumes from what's it called?
We did. I tell you what, we did charity auction that costume that you wore in France. Sips, remember when you dressed up as that regal lord?
Yeah,
we did put that on the charity auction one time. I liked doing that, but I think loses their any of the staff lose their mind if I ask them to send something out in the mail, right, or do an auction. It's such a lot of faff.
Why?
The Christmas like art auction that we did was like, you know, we sold like 20 or 30 things, but it's such a lot of faff, like wrapping them up, getting the postage, taking them to the post office. Like they hate it and they refuse to do it. And so it's like anything like that. It's for me, it's like, do we just throw it away at this point? Because I think that's where it's come to. It's like, I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, oh, someone will probably want to buy this for charity. And I'll look at I'm not going to name who it is. I'll look at them and they'll be like, no, can we just throw it away? And I'll be like, okay, fine, we'll throw it away. So yeah,
it's an
like,
easier
we're
option sometimes.
Contributed to the problem by how, I guess, how busy we are and how much of a time sink it is. You know, it's not like we're making any money off it, selling it for charity kind of thing. But part of me is like, people want to own these random old bits of Yogscast history. I kind of want to do like a car boot sale where we just get a table out the front and we're just like, take away all this crap. There's a bowl shaped like a shark that Ben made. There's this old thing that this guy made. Do you know what I mean? Like, just take it all away. All this stuff that we got, because we got so much crap. Oh my God. It just builds up. It's out of control. You wouldn't believe how much crap we accumulate.
I would believe it. I've seen it. I've seen all the crap.
It's a disaster.
Well, it's been years now since I've been, but I'd imagine.
It's been actually, we have got an office giveaway shelf. I've probably talked about this before.
Oh, yeah. There's never anything on it worth having. Well, not by the time I get there.
There was. I used it quite often to get rid of a lot of stuff initially. And then I found that.
You put some money on
it. You put your jar 3 years worth of toenail clippings.
Oh, my God.
Just
no.
Order stuff from
this
Timo.
This is my booger
and
collection.
Stack it on there.
What Gross. The fuck? Just like
cherish it.
Spanner sets. Yeah.
Just to change the topic, I submitted it, but they won't publish the book I wrote on penguins.
Penguins.
Yeah, I should have written it on paper.
Oh, fucking hilarious. Dad joke. Where did you get that one from?
The internet.
Oh, God.
I'm furious.
The holidays are all about connecting with loved ones, and there's no better way to do that than with a digital picture frame from Aura. Wirecutter called it the best digital photo frame, and it's easy to see why. You can upload your favorite pics of the family to one frame and relive all those happy moments again, or share big news, like a new addition to the family, maybe. What pictures do you and your family love sharing, Lewis?
So when I was actually on holiday in Cornwall, I was uploading pictures live, and my parents were seeing them come up on their Aura frame.
No way!
It's a great gift. I recommend it. And with Christmas coming up, now is the best time. It's easy to set up. It just takes a couple of minutes to set up a frame using the app, and it's the perfect gift for any occasion. You can save the wrapping paper, as each frame comes packaged in a premium gift box with no price tag. There is unlimited storage. You can add unlimited photos and videos and invite as many people as you want, and there are no hidden fees or subscriptions. For a limited time, you can visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver matte frames using the promo code TRIFORCE. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code TRIFORCE. This exclusive Black Friday / Cyber Monday deal is their best of the year, so don't miss out. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm really looking forward to giving my mum this frame. I'm going to surprise her by uploading pics of her and her mum from when she was younger.
Wow. Okay. Why don't you try that out?
I will.
thank you. On with the show. Do you want to hear my lose news?
Yes.
Yes, please. Yes. Thanks.
Yes. Yes.
This guy who...
And finally, yes.
There's this guy being Peter Todd, who's been named as Bitcoin's creator.
What, old Pete Todd?
Old Peter Todd. Apparently, an HBO documentary accused this guy of creating Bitcoin, which I don't think is the case because he's only 39.
Accused him of creating Bitcoin.
Well, we don't know who this guy called Satoshi Nakamoto is, right? And there's a reason for that, because potentially he's worth $67 billion, which means he's a giant target, right? If people find out that it's him, you know, he could get, you know.
That's my alter ego. That's the name I use for business. And one day they're going to be waiting in a conference room to meet the famous legendary Satoshi Nakamoto. And then it'll be me. I'm going to walk in. Hey, guys.
Oh,
that's not what I was expecting at all. Everybody's kind of expecting, you know, not me. And then I stroll in my shorts and I'm like, hey,
it would be even weirder if it was period, honestly. And he turned up, he was like,
I don't understand any of this Bitcoin stuff. I don't like prime numbers. Fuck off.
Are you talking about me?
Yes.
That's like my Art Mandalay.
The thing is, you actually have some experience with coding and stuff, Sips, and being involved in finance.
So do I. So I fucking programmed.
Did you program in finance?
I was a coder for 5 years. Well, I did 4 years at university, 2 years available. I got a decade of coding.
Well, give me some of that Bitcoin money, you fuck.
There's a load of keep it all to yourself. Fucking con, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, the people, this guy's going to hide. Doesn't matter. Did you see that Google bought, funded 10 small nuclear reactors to power their data centers?
Yeah, I've got
I did know that. I did not know. That's amazing.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Obviously, Google has tried to commit to clean energy, and they've agreed to purchase electricity from these things called SMRs, which are small modular reactors.
I love it when an abbreviation for something scientific has the word small in it.
Yeah.
But I just like that. I think it's
what
funny.
Happens
I think
if one of these funny. Things melts down.
Well,
not much.
Fucking disaster.
Luckily, it's very small.
But yeah, it's tiny.
Your back garden is fucked. That's it.
You do not want to go back there.
Yeah. Yeah. Go back there in about 10,000 years, honey. But for now, let's just leave it to settle.
Just stay out of the garden for the next 10,000 years. So yes, I don't know, but Amazon did the similar thing. They actually did it first. So there is this idea that AI
it's
is going to be very energy hungry.
There is waste produced from all nuclear, which is
Don't worry. It's like a Chinese disposable AliExpress nuclear reactor. You just buy it from China and you just use it till it runs out like a vape.
So where is it?
And then you just carry it.
It Norway or Sweden? It could even be Denmark. I'm not sure, but I was looking at this thing where they've basically drilled deep, deep, deep into the earth and made this like ultra high long-term secure nuclear waste disposal site.
Sure.
And it is like, oh my god, it is so deep in the ground. But you just think, man, there's got to be some way that you could just, you know, reprocess that waste into like plutonium pellets and then maybe plutonium
so
rods and then just dump them into the fix-it sink, you know, like that. I think that would be the
like in satisfactory.
That would be the
so this
the
is
optimal.
There's a tunnel in Finland called the Onkalo site. It's the furthest along the road to becoming operational among repositories worldwide. It started construction in 2004 and they're still digging.
Yeah, it's going to go deep. It zigzags down into this massive storage area that's all whatever lined by lead or cement.
I mean, these places have to be built in very geologically stable places.
Yes, yeah, they can't be built anywhere where there's
because the last thing you want is for it to be ruptured and go into the fucking groundwater, because that's like even worse than just leaving it on the surface. I guess, God, nuclear reactors, fascinating stuff, interesting, I guess. A children's soft play center have apologized after using body bag style Halloween decorations. One mother who took her daughter to Rugrats and Half Pints in Cirencester, Gloucester, said she did a double take when she spotted pictures resembling human bodies covered in black plastic, some wrapped with tape marked caution or danger, hanging upside down from the soft play structure.
Jesus
Christ. I'll just put you a little picture.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures. That's horrifying.
What happened to just like
horrifying.
Spooky ghosts and skeletons? Why do we always have to do this with everything? Like, we don't need an ultra realistic, make-believe like autopsy center for aliens or whatever around Halloween and blood oozing out of eyes and stuff like that. If you take a kid to like the dollar store, there's like all these severed hands with bones and blood on them and stuff, and you just think, Jesus Christ,
it's too much.
Yeah, you can just keep it really pumpkins and ghosts and comic skeletons is fine.
I think sometimes this is a thing where people sometimes when they home make these things, they end up looking way better than they thought and way creepier than they thought. Right? They think, oh, this will just be some shit, and a lot of it is. But yeah, I can imagine sometimes it actually ends up, you see these Halloween costumes every year, all these Halloween makeup that actually is genuinely frightening. And you just think that I don't think you're really getting it. The airport in the south of New Zealand at Dunedin, I don't know how to pronounce that place. Sorry.
Dunedin.
Dunedin.
My father's name was Durandal. The great dwarf from the hearth home of Slagsmead.
Sorry. They have the airport there have announced that they are limiting hugging in its drop-off zone to a maximum of 3 minutes, with anyone else who wants a longer goodbye told to head for the car park. They've put a sign up that says max hug time 3 minutes.
A 3 minute hug?
Yep.
I'm getting a boner. Like, that's a long
sex.
Hug.
That is sex.
That is a long one.
I mean, here, put it this way. If you caught your wife hugging another fella
for three minutes,
it's over. It's over. She's left you for this other guy.
That's a long time. That is very generous, actually. Well, most people just do a
family
quick embrace.
That need to hug each other. But yeah, you're right. I think it's just because there's congestion due to people saying goodbye at this location.
Right.
And, you know, it's...
But 3 minutes, if we're going to put a time limit on, 3 minutes is also a long time. Like, it's stupid to have this rule in the first place, but picking 3 minutes as the maximum time, if you've got all those people boarding a plane, they're all hugging for 3 minutes.
God, what a mess. If you love and miss somebody that much, just live close to them. Like, why? What the fuck are you doing? Like,
it's just another fucking rule. I swear to Christ, there's too many fucking rules now. Rule!
If I'm saying goodbye to somebody at the airport, I'm happy to be leaving. You know what I mean? Like, it's
Jesus.
Well, come on. I mean, I guess if you got to go away, but I mean, if you go away for a couple of days, nobody's going to be crying that much sort of thing. If you really miss somebody, like, why do you live so far away from them in the first place?
Yeah, no. Idiot. Just move closer.
Yeah, it's easy.
The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration, talking about airports, have ended a requirement that...
For planes to have wings.
There is a no smoking sign off switch, right? Because smoking has been banned on commercial flights for so long that the no smoking sign being able to turn it on and off was burdensome. And so it's just, I guess it's now just commonplace that no smoking signs
can they ever do away with them altogether?
I think they still have them on planes.
They do.
They don't have to be able to turn them on and off or something. So, I mean, I know that Tom and Ben and Lydia and Ravs went to Japan recently, and Japan have much stricter anti-smoking rules than here.
Yeah.
More strict than here?
There's outside areas, like on sidewalks and stuff, where it says you can't smoke.
Yeah, you can't
here.
Smoke just outside on the sidewalk.
I mean, that's true in Singapore.
You have
boxed
to go to
areas.
Like basically a dedicated, like, tiny box.
Some parts in California are quite strict with it, too.
It's like a super sad box where you go in
buildings
there.
So in Singapore, it's on the corners generally. There'll be an area that's painted. You can smoke here, but you can't smoke walking along the road. You have to stand in the area and smoke.
Yeah.
So I assume it's the same in Japan.
It's really similar. I think it's really had a big impact on stopping people smoking, because it really makes smokers fucking miserable.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's really annoying.
By putting them in these little stinky sad rooms.
It's awful.
I saw it at going through sort of some airports. There's always like an airport smoking area as well, and it's just absolutely fucking
the
worst.
What, the little ventilated smoking rooms?
Being able to smoke after you've gone through is enormous. Sometimes you've got to wait ages for your flight.
There's in LAX, there's a big outdoor smoking area. Bristol's got an outdoor smoking area at Bristol Airport.
Yeah, Heathrow doesn't. Shit.
Yeah. Once you're through security, you're boned.
Yeah. I remember one time in LA when I was flying out of LAX, I went through and I said to the guy, "Is there a smoking area?" He went, "Yeah, you go back through security, yeah, all the way back through security. You go to the pavement, you go to the smoking area, you can smoke there." I was like, "Why don't you just say no?"
Wow, poor guy. Finally. A German pizzeria has been raided over its best-selling pizza. If you ordered a number 40 on the menu, you got a side of cocaine with it.
Wow!
And apparently it was their most popular order. It's been busted and shut down, but apparently it was running for quite a while. It was one of the best-selling pizzas. Food inspectors are the ones who topped them off. When drug squad officers began observing the restaurant, they buzzed the restaurant manager's apartment, and he threw a bag of drugs out of the window, which fell right into the arms of police officers. They discovered,
so a real tight operation. This.
Yes,
real.
They discovered
that was the payoff.
1.6 kilos of cocaine and 268,000 euros in cash. Quite a lot of cash.
Quite a bit of cash.
It's good stuff. Delicious pizza as well. I wonder what the pizza was that you got with it. I guess like a plain one. I don't know, something
just a margarita,
basic. Yeah, or maybe it was like a real weird one as well, like number 40. That's quite far down. Because you don't want people to order it by accident. No, you want to pick a pizza that no one would ordinarily ever fucking order.
Like a ham and
Just very joking. Funny.
I'm just joking.
All right, well, there you go. That's the podcast for today.
That was great news. Thanks so much.
Great stuff. We'll be back with more stuff next week.
Can't
Enjoy yourselves. Have a lovely time. Thank you for listening. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.